morning, everyone. It's lovely to be here this morning on this very sunny and hot day. So if you need to pop out at any time and get a drink, we'll understand. So let's start with the passage. It is a little bit of a long one again. I seem to get all the long passages. So let's just have a look at the passage. So it's 1 Corinthians 9, and we're going to read verses 1 to 27. It's basically the whole of chapter 9. So here we go. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus, our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? Even though I may not be an apostle to others, surely I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. This is my defense to those who sit in judgment on me. Don't we have the right to food and drink? Don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us, as do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas? Or is it only I and Barnabas who must work for a living? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its grapes? Who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk? Do I say this merely from a human point of view? Doesn't the law say the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain. Is it about oxen that God is concerned? Surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Yes, this was written for us because when the ploughman ploughs and the thresher threshes, they ought to do so in the hope of sharing in the harvest. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? But we did not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. Don't you know that those who work in the temple get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in what is offered on the altar? In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel shall receive their living from the gospel. But I have not used any of these rights, and I am not writing this in the hope that you will do such things for me. I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of this boast. Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not make use of my rights in preaching it. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man, running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Amen. We have been given the title of Freedom and Responsibility. I just want to clear up one really important misunderstanding that could arise if we're not careful in this passage. At no point am I saying that a pastor shouldn't be paid. Steve deserves his stipend. He's got to get a living like the rest of us. He's got his bills to pay and his life to live. He needs his stipend. And if we didn't give him a stipend, he'd have to earn and wouldn't be able to work for the church. So I just want to clear that right from the beginning. I am not saying that Steve and Sandra should not be paid. I never would do. Now, Paul was passionate for people to come to the Lord. He bent over backwards to spread the gospel and to plant churches. And when we look at Acts and we see the adventures and tribulations that he had, you have to stop and think, would I have been prepared to even do a fraction of that? He went through shipwrecks and he ended up on islands and he ended up getting beaten and having to run away because people were trying to kill him and all sorts of things like that. But he also had the joy of planting a lot of the early churches that we read about in Acts and Revelations. Quite an amazing feat in his three missionaries that he did. And eventually, as we all know, he did actually die for the sake of the Lord. Paul didn't just do it for people, though. He did it because he was so passionate for the Lord. He did it because of Jesus. He did it for God, so that God's kingdom could grow and be spread. And he went out of his way to remove the obstacles that could prevent people from coming to the Lord. And in this passage, he identifies three of those reasons. And all of those reasons don't exist today, as well as in the ancient times that Paul was living. The other one you'll be very familiar with. They're just after your money. We have all heard of scammers, people trying to sell you things. We hear every day about the scammers and people doing stuff just to get your money. And it's everywhere. And people are quite wary of things because, are they just after my money? Now, as I've already said, Paul makes it clear that Christian leaders should be paid like any other job. And in this passage, he almost compares it to any other job. We see the oxen, that they shouldn't be muzzled. And what he's saying there is that actually they get food as they're working, that they're paid as they're working. Obviously, an oxen, money's no use to an oxen, but if you give it food, that will keep an oxen sustained while it works. We pay our armed forces, all of the soldiers and the sailors and everything that we saw at the coronation and obviously elsewhere that keep this country safe, they're all paid. So he's saying that leaders should be paid. However, there are some leaders, and this is where it's gone too far, who really are out to get all they can. Thankfully, we don't have it in this country, but in America, we've all heard of the tele-evangelists. And, you know, they preach and, you know, please give me money. They've got a phone number on the screen all the time, all the way through their programs that you can phone up and donate. And they get thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds. And actually, it's got the Christian world, particularly in America, quite a bad reputation. They've not just been given a fair salary. They are effectively just out for all they can get almost. That does not do anything for the kingdom of God. And the question that I've got for you today is, do non-believers see our passion for the Lord? Now, I know it's very difficult sometimes in various environments. I know in the world of work, you have to be so careful nowadays. It's a minefield. And we regularly hear of Christians who have been accused of overstepping the mark, particularly in the medical professions and the caring professions. They've prayed for clients. They've got themselves into a lot of bother and lost their jobs, even some of them. But what this is saying is we can show our passion in a safe way. We have to find how to show it in a safe way, in an acceptable way. It might just be helping people to do their job. Our behaviour, being friendly, being non-judgmental, being understanding with people, being kind to those you work with, and being understanding to those that you work with. The second reason is, I'm not that sort of person. So often, faith in Christ or being a Christian, people outside of the church will often say, It's just a crutch for those that need a crutch. Or it's for do-gooders. I don't have the time. It's for old people. Sorry to those of you who are of the older age group. And I think increasingly coming up is this whole issue of science and atheism as well. Does science replace religion? Or the two are not compatible? People just don't see it as relevant to them anymore. And we as a church have to find a way to meet those people where they are. And we need to make the church as culturally relevant as possible. Now, I don't have the answers of how we do that, because there's probably a lot of things that we do have to do. But as a church-wide community, it's something that we will have to consider. How can we make our church environment culturally relevant? How can we attract people into our fellowship? How can we, as individually, meet people where they are? Now, I want to share a story with you, because to be relevant and to meet people where they are sometimes just needs a very subtle change, and it just needs us to put ourselves in that person's shoes. Shortly after my transplant, a lot of my Christian friends were very excited. I'd had this wonderful gift, which I had. Unfortunately, some of them seemed to forget that I'd had a very major operation in the process of being given this amazing gift. It is, as I'm sure you all realise, it is a very major operation. And they would come and see me at home. I had to, shades of the pandemic again, I had to go into isolation or semi-isolation for the first 3 months. And so people came to see me. And one of the things that they expected was my parents, and particularly my poor mum, to be all smiley and happy that I'd had this op. And actually, my mum was exhausted, because they'd been up and down to Harefield. They lived on the south coast. It's a long journey up and down to Harefield to see me. They'd had to sort the house out for me coming home. And they'd had an awful lot of worry, because, yes, I had received a wonderful gift. I'd also had a major operation with all the concerns and worries that that brought with it. And I needed to recover from it. But one of the things that really struck me, and it's something that I've remembered all through the rest of my, through the sort of 30 years I've been a transplant, is so many of them came and said, oh, she should be doing well. We've all been praying for her. And my mum actually said, it came out to my mum as if they'd done the operation themselves. They gave no credit to the surgeons or the hospital or the medical team that had cared for me and actually continued to care for me. They gave no credit to them. And it came out quite boastful, actually. And that actually didn't sit well with my parents. My parents were what we would probably term nominal Christians. And if they had just thought a little bit about what it was like for my parents, that it had been a quite very stressful time, and actually they would have liked the hospital to have been credited. I have absolutely no doubt that God did work in that situation. But for my parents, it was slightly different. If they just slightly changed their kind of language almost, it would have been more helpful to my parents. So this is what I'm saying. To be culturally relevant, we need to just put ourselves into that person's shoes and think, what is it really like for them in their situation before we go blundering in with our how we see it. And the third reason, it will never last. This is all to do with discipline and staying the journey. It's very relevant that we've looked at this passage today and we're talking about the runners racing to get their laurel crown. Of course, that was the equivalent today of our gold medal. And of course, at the moment, we've got the Olympics going on. We'll shortly have the Paralympics taking place, and so there's been gold medals getting won and lots of excitement. But those athletes have trained for years and years to get to the point of winning a gold medal. I think most of those athletes probably start in their teenage years. I remember seeing not this Olympics, probably two or three Olympics ago, of somebody who was aiming to go to the Olympics, but she was still at school. And so she was getting up at something, and her dad were getting up at something silly like 5 a.m. in the morning. They were going to the pool. She was doing, I think, an hour and a half of training before school. And then she'd get ready. She'd go to school. At lunchtime, she did a run in the school break, and I think possibly at the end in the evening did a little bit more training. She had to be really disciplined and determined to do that. It didn't just, you know, it's not just an hour a week or something like that. It is absolutely every day. She was on it. And actually, so was her dad, who was getting up at that unearthly hour, get at 5 in the morning and taking his daughter. He really believed in his daughter, obviously. But the final thing that I want to ask you is, what rhythms of prayer do you have? What Bible reflection do you have? And worship. What is your weekday life like? What are your rhythms, your spiritual rhythms? And I'd really encourage you to build a really strong spiritual rhythm that will give you the energy and the stickability to persevere through the journey of faith. Sometimes it's not an easy journey. You know, life can throw wobblies at all of us. It can be to do with our employment. It can be bereavement, health issues. You know, life's got mountain tops and deep valleys in it. And if we don't have a very sound spiritual foundation, we won't survive the journey. God is always with us, but we need to know where to go and get refreshed. And so as I come to the end, I think it would be good to pray. Lord, I just pray that you help us in our world today, as a church, to be culturally relevant. Give us the wisdom to know how to reach the residents of Croydon and further into London. Give us all a breath of your spirit, Lord. Help us all to develop that stickability through prayer and Bible study, through coming to you and being refreshed, and through meeting with other like-minded Christians. And we ask this in your name, Lord. Amen.